my last talk with my mother, I had been angry. But my father was in the hospital with a heart attack. She refused to hire a live-in nurse for him when he came home, saying she wanted to do it herself. I angrily insisted on it. The next day, she was dead of heart failure. Why do we fight with people we love the most and never with the people who do not care about us? Is this the human condition, hurting and being hurt by the ones you love, both Edgar and Beatrice? No way to make up, to be forgiven, blaming oneself for what you did or did not say and should have done? May they rest in peace. May I rest in peace. Edgar's body arrived in Los Angeles on Saturday. That afternoon, I went to the funeral home by myself. I made no announcement of a viewing because I did not wish to be there receiving people, but I did not want him to be alone. In the midst of my anger, I was still trying to nurture and protect him. His face reflected the inner Edgar, his sweetness, a face that was young again. I was pulled back 20 years to the fun and the excitement of growing together and having our baby, the adventure of moving forward together. I thought, oh God, what have we done to each other? I thought, what a blessing we cannot foresee the future. That night I went back a second time to make sure he was okay, to let him have a visitor. The third time was at 4 a.m. Sunday morning to see him once more before he was cremated. Strangely, as long as he was lying there, he still was not dead. On Sunday, Edgar's ashes were delivered to the house in a small square box. I left it on the dressing table with a rose and a good luck stone on top. The funeral service was held in the Wilshire Boulevard Temple, a very beautiful, very large temple. The family and close friends went in a side door. An old friend of Edgar's, Roy Zukowski, blurted out, Edgar was a classy guy, classy dresser. That destroyed me. Nobody in California had understood that Edgar was a classy guy. I turned blindly down an empty hall and leaned my forehead against the wall and wept. The temple was full. 1,000 people came. Hundreds of people stood outside. Left to myself, I would have had a very small, totally private ceremony with none of the display. But I decided to have these elaborate ceremonies for the sake of Edgar and Melissa to show that, yes, his life was important. Yes, you were somebody. Yes, 1,000 people came when you died. The best therapy for me would have been to go right from the mortuary onto a stage, but my advisors agreed it would be unseemly. In any case, my agent said that since the Fox firing, booking me was extremely hard. Additionally, I was fearful that any audience might not accept a new widow trying to be funny. They will not understand that by saying it, you are keeping the door locked to sorrow. I could imagine people thinking, look at her. She must be some piece of change. No wonder he killed himself. On Wednesday, we received the envelopes Edgar had left behind. The police had had his farewell tapes transcribed to be sure it was suicide. Melissa and I read our transcripts in the kitchen, and she bravely went upstairs to listen to her tape. Afterwards, she told me, it's very hard to hear his voice because he sounds so tired and strained and so upset. I could not bring myself to play Edgar's farewell tape. I was still too guilty. According to the transcript of the tape, he told me, I cannot bear to be shunted aside and be a fifth wheel. I know this is not your fault. This is all my doing. I had the heart attack and I'm a changed person. But believe me, when I always fought for you. The anger is something I have not been able to control since the heart attack, so forgive me for that. That people are angry at me, well, sometimes I'm proud of the enemies I made. If someone had not been the bastard, you might have been cut up like a salami. He said, it's very hard for me to show emotion because I was not brought up that way. But you have made these 22 years a haven for me. I miss you desperately, and I love you. The sadness of his words, of his defeat, of his capitulation, were just too much to bear. On the last Friday of Shiva, I went to temple for the little ceremony to remove my mourning ribbon. On the way into the service, a friend of ours, David Chasman, stopped me and said Barry Diller had called, asking his advice about sending a condolence card. Too late. I cried through the service. That man had started the whole chain of events. I remembered what my mother had said after her death. When everybody has gone home, that's when you really start to grieve. I drove out to Larchmont and prayed at the graves of my parents and then at Edgar's parents because I thought he would have wanted me to do that. Standing there, I prayed that he was with these people who really loved him. All the graves were unkempt and I cleaned them, thinking, this is what my life is all about now. Loss, loss, loss. And weeping onto my hands as I pulled the weeds and talking to my mother. I told her, some mess this is. How am I going to get through it?